Good evening and welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse here on WDIY Allentown, listener-supported community public radio in the Lehigh Valley. I'm John Pierce, your host, right along with Ray Schwab. Good evening, Ray.
How you doing, John?
Doing very well, and a topic that is of extreme importance in our society that more and more people are becoming aware of, and that is mental illness and mental health. We have four guests. Count them, Ray.
That's four.
I thought he was going to count maybe in Spanish or something, you know, just to humor me. We have representatives from the area of mental health services from Lehigh County today, and one of them is Richard Orleman. Dick, welcome to our show.
Oh, thank you, John.
Richard Orleman is Deputy Mental Health Administrator for Lehigh County, with responsibility for administering publicly funded mental health services. Prior to assuming his position, he supervised the Lehigh County Crisis Intervention Unit and held executive positions with private nonprofit agencies. He's a founding member of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and I know that this is one of Dick's passions. That's the suicide prevention of the Greater Lehigh Valley, and he is currently the chapter's co-chair. He has a bachelor's degree in social relations from Lehigh University. Wow, we are sitting here in eclectic South Bethlehem, Dick, right in the shadow of Lehigh University.
Yeah, I'm shaking as I look back over there.
Does it take you back to the 1950s when you were a student then?
Yes.
And he has a master's in public administration from Kutztown University. That is Richard Orleman. Jane Marsilio.
Hi.
Hello, Jane.
Hi. Sorry. Excuse me, a frog in my throat.
That's all right. We all get that once in a while. Jane holds the position of Director of Crisis Intervention in Lehigh County, has a Bachelor of Arts in Criminal Justice and Psychology, and a second BA in Elementary Education from Moravian College. In addition, she has a postgraduate health education from Penn State. She's been employed with the County of Lehigh for 26 years. Jane, that's a long time.
That's a very long time, yes.
Once upon a time, I met a DJ in Chicago, and he said that he had been there for almost 40 years. He says, but I don't like to mention it because people will begin to say it's time to move on now, isn't it? But Jane has been there 26 years in various human service positions. Prior to her employment at the county, she held the mental health case manager positions with Allentown Hospital, now called Lehigh Valley Hospital, with Allentown Hospital, now known as Lehigh Valley Health Network. Is that right? We have to update this, Jane.
I was just saying Lehigh Valley Hospital, yeah.
Right. She's also currently employed part-time at Northampton County Emergency Services as a part-time telephone and mobile crisis worker. So, Jane, welcome.
Thank you.
We also have Marlene Dalmasso. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
It's Dalmasso, but Dalmasso. Mm-hmm.
Marlene Dalmasso. She is another person from Moravian College in her studying days, Bachelor of Arts in Political Science, and additional focus in sociology. Marywood University is in your background, too.
Yes, it is.
Master in social work. And she began with Lehigh County in August of 2001 as a General Protective Services Worker. That's a new title for me. General Protective Services Worker. We could talk about that. With the Office of Children and Youth Services. And then as Child Advocacy Center in Lehigh County, Child Abuse Investigations, and an Adoption Caseworker. She's also a part-time faculty member at DeSales University. And what do you teach there?
I was there in 2006 to 2008. I'm not there any longer, but it was sociology.
All right, sociology. Mm-hmm. One of the subjects of your background. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. And from July 2010 until currently is supervisor with Lehigh County Office of Crisis Intervention Services. She and her husband, Daniel, have a beautiful little daughter named Georgia Ray.
Yes,
let's give a shout-out to Georgia Ray, who undoubtedly is listening.
Hi, Georgia. Mommy loves you.
Georgia, if you are not paying strict attention, there's going to be discussion back home after the show. And finally, we have Belle Marks. Belle, welcome
Hello.
To you. Belle is Associate Director for Personal Health Services at the Allentown Health Bureau. And her responsibilities include administering communicable disease, maternal child health, and chronic disease control programs. She's been active in the area of suicide prevention, a priority public health problem, for the past 15 years. She's co-chair of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, Greater Lehigh Valley Chapter's Board. And she has a bachelor's degree in anthropology from Kenyon College and postgraduate nursing degree from Case Western Reserve University. I'm guessing you're an Ohio gal at the beginning.
I spent 9 years there, yeah.
All right. Where are you from originally?
I grew up in northern New Jersey.
Jersey girl. Any other Jersey girls here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
I am.
Okay. His voice took a turn for, it's a sort of a weird turn during puberty. And so Belle has a bachelor's degree in anthropology and a postgraduate nursing degree and master's in public health from the University of North Carolina. So with our guests this evening, we want to talk about mental health services in Lehigh County. Dick Orleman, let's start off with you and ask you to give us a sort of an overview of the structure of how all these various offices dealing with mental health are structured in Lehigh County.
About two-thirds of the budget of the mental health office involves supporting people who at one time had lived at the Allentown State Hospital. As most people might know, the hospital closed December 10th of 2010. And over a period of years, the state had moved people into the community and then diverted money that would have gone to the state hospital towards the care of those individuals moving into the community. It also is what's called diversionary money. So that's money that is for people who would have gone to a state hospital had there been one. About a third of our budget is what's called base funding, and that is in support of other mental health services. We help with funding for people to get outpatient therapy. We have what's called blended case management, which provides case management services to people, the majority of whom have no insurance and are not eligible for other services because of that. And we have a SPOR program, which is a specialized program. The specialized program at SPOR involves matching a case manager in the mental health system on the juvenile and the adult probation sides with a probation officer on a smaller caseload basis so that they can work with those individuals more intensively and deal not only with the forensic aspects through probation but also their mental health needs through our office. We also have programs that assist people with housing that are homeless or potentially homeless or at risk of becoming homeless, and we would help support them so that they can maintain their housing. The Crisis Intervention Unit, which is Jane and Marlene now, had been under our office, but it was merged within the past year with our Information and Referral Unit. And the purpose of that being that it's a cross system, that if you receive crisis services, you can be a child, an adult, or a senior citizen, so that the services you receive crossover services, and they are now supported through that office. But the budget's still through our mental health office, but they're in that office.
It's kind of a maze for someone who's not working in the area to realize how many different facets there are to helping people who are battling mental illnesses. And we're finding out, my hunch is that sometimes people ask, do we really have more people battling with bipolar disorder now or with schizophrenia than we had in the past? My hunch is that we just know more about it, and we're naming it more. Is that right?
I would agree. I just think we're becoming more sophisticated. The clinicians are becoming more sophisticated in diagnosing, and as a result, it's being recognized more often than people.
Now, when we say this word crisis, what exactly are we talking about? What all falls under this umbrella?
it's Jane. Our crisis, I'm sorry with my cough here. We're talking about what the basically we're receiving calls and we're providing services with people that have mental illnesses, and their crises can be anything from people feeling depressed, suicidal, anxious or stressed, or they feel they just need some kind of help. So we also get calls not related to mental health per se, but we're a 24-hour hotline, so people call believing that we might have some answers for them.
Okay. What kind of calls are those?
It could be about heat and getting fuel assistance. It could be services for a child, not necessarily mental health, though. It's almost anything.
And these are all people calling on their own will.
I believe so.
Well, my question there, Ray, was going to be, would you receive more calls at the crisis center from the individuals having a hard time or from family members or friends on their behalf?
Yeah, that's a good question. Most of the calls would be from family or friends, neighbors, police, hospitals. Not too many. We get a lot of people calling for support. Calls during the night that they can't sleep or they just need somebody to talk to. Not too often do we get calls from someone saying, I need help. Sometimes maybe for medication that they ran out or they don't have money to buy medication, but it's really mostly from other people. That's correct.
Right. And Marlene, give us an idea of what the crisis center looks like. If we were to walk in, how many people are dealing with crisis calls and what's a typical crisis call like?
When you walk into the crisis office, there's a waiting room where you can, in a window, and we have somebody during the day that sits there, and you can ring the doorbell for assistance. And if you go into the office, there is, I'd say, usually about four full-time staff during the day, three to four, that are answering calls, dispatching into the community, the hospitals. There are three INR information referral workers that Dick had explained earlier that are on the calls all day. And at that point, we do communicate with each other. It's an open call center, basically, and we're centered in the middle of the first floor of the government center.
And the government center is located where?
At 17 South 7th Street. It's 7th and Hamilton.
It's a fairly new building.
Mm-hmm, it is.
Did a nice job in downtown Allentown. We are chatting this evening with representatives from the mental health services of Lehigh County here on Lehigh Valley Discourse.
We'd like to remind the listeners that we are actually open for questions. If you have any questions, you could call us at 610-758-8810. Once again, that's 610-758-8810. 8810.
Belle, so far we've been talking about the services available in Lehigh County for those with mental illnesses or who are having panic attacks or whatever the case might be. And you are Associate Director of Personal Health for the Allentown Health Bureau. How does your work fit into all this?
Okay, well, going back to, I would say, the early to mid-90s, in public health, we look at conditions that people are living with and also that they die of, so morbidity and mortality. And it was apparent that in reviewing trends related to injuries, intentional self-harm, that the local suicide rates, Allentown, Lehigh County, surpassed Pennsylvania, the United States, and also the healthy people. At that point, gosh, it was 2010, now it's 2020, health objectives for the nation. So we had a much higher rate. And various people got involved. The county, hospital representatives in behavioral health, the Lehigh County Coroner and others to look at how we as a community could address this. And so suicide prevention has been a topic for discussion a public health priority for a long time.
Do you spend most of your time dealing with suicide prevention?
I don't, but it really it weaves in every day because we're talking about mental health and which relates to physical health and the well-being of the population.
Right. Now, your title is Director of Personal Health
Yes.
for the Allentown Health Bureau. Mm-hmm. So that means you're dealing not only with mental illnesses, but you're dealing with
the overall health of the person.
Whatever Yeah. has to do with health, you're Mm-hmm. you're in there. Mm-hmm. Would you say that the great majority of what you do is with mental health?
No. No, it's not. But I'm also involved with the local chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and I can tell you a little bit about that now if you'd like. Or
we're going to do that in our second segment coming
okay.
up.
Sounds good.
Here on Lehigh Valley Discourse, we are chatting with Dick Orleman, Jane Marsilio, Marlene Dalmaso, and Belle Marks about the services available in Lehigh County for mental health. We will take a break now, and we'll be back in 60 seconds.
Celtic Fair, a celebration of Celtic music and culture, from its roots in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Galicia, and Brittany, to its branches in Australia, Cape Breton, Canada, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. Bringing you music, interviews, and a weekly culture calendar every Thursday from 7 to 9 on WDIY Allentown listener-supported community public radio.
Back on Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm your host, John Pierce, along with Ray Schwab this evening. We're so glad that you have made us part of your day. Belle Marks was talking a bit about her interest in suicide prevention. Belle, what would you like to continue saying? Let's hold your comments for just a minute because we have a caller on the line. Caller, would you... All right. We lost the caller.
if you'd like to give us a call back, we'd really interested to hear your question.
Ray, would you give that telephone number one more time?
It's 610-758-8810.
Thank you. Belle?
Okay, well, continuing on with the history of suicide preventions locally here in the Lehigh Valley, the Allentown Health Bureau was involved, other, you know, public health entities, hospitals, Lehigh County, and more people than I can mention, including the local media, which was extremely helpful. We had a number of initiatives going on locally, and about 7 years ago, we had this idea that we could organize a local walk and called to reserve a spot at Lehigh Parkway for the walk and learned that the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention was also having a walk that month. So we thought, well, why don't we join efforts? And so that was the beginning of our involvement with the AFSP. Then in 2010, the local chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention was chartered. And our focus is on creating awareness and programs to spread the word that suicide can be prevented. And the reason is that untreated depression and mental disorders often lead to suicide. We're dedicated to suicide prevention and providing to support to survivors who are families and friends who've lost a loved one by suicide. And according to preliminary data, more than 30,000 people in the United States died by suicide in 2010. This means about every 12 minutes, someone in this country intentionally ends his or her life. It's the 10th leading cause of suicide in the country.
10th leading cause of death.
Yes. Thank you for that correction. And I think suicides are one, statistics are one thing, but the most important is that one suicide is too many. Over the past 6 years, we've raised funds to increase awareness about depression and suicide and provide support to families of survivors, those who've lost a loved one to suicide on the local level. There are support groups up and running in Lehigh and Northampton counties, and our local chapter has a speakers board, an outreach team made up of survivors of suicide loss, as well as professionals in the counseling and medical field. Many are willing to dedicate their time to speak about their experiences, ways to educate and raise awareness about mental disorders and suicide, and be a source of strength and hope to anyone experiencing this difficult condition. So we encourage everyone to get involved, raise awareness.
And your that group has to do with family survivors.
Yes.
Family who has somebody in the family who committed suicide. How do people get in touch with that if they should want to get
with
more
the local,
information?
Local chapter, we have a phone number that I can give you, and also there's a local website.
Let's go for it right now. All right, she doesn't have it right in front of her.
Yes.
So we'll come back to that.
Okay.
All right. But it's interesting that there are such groups.
Survivors of suicide groups.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But and another thing that I picked up on from what you said was the chapter of suicide prevention in the Lehigh Valley or in Lehigh County is only 2 years old.
Yes.
Which
yeah, it's Lehigh Valley.
We're just beginning to pay attention to the problem.
That was organized. That was an organized infrastructure, but we were paying attention, and many different efforts were going on, you know, for the past
you
15
years. You have this walk going on for 7 years already.
Yes.
It's just that you are now organized in a little different way.
Correct.
And can I point out, before that happened, we did billboard campaigns. Bell and the Health Bureau really brought this to the forefront as an issue that needed to be addressed in the county and in the Lehigh Valley. So I think the first billboard campaign was in 1999. Mm-hmm. So it is an issue that we've been addressing. We are looking at other issues. One is the 8th Street Bridge. And we've been working with PennDOT. It's an unusual situation in that it's in the city of Allentown, owned by PennDOT, but it's a National Historic Landmark. So any changes have to be approved by the Secretary of the Interior in Washington. But it's celebrating its 100th anniversary next year in 2013, and we were able to work with PennDOT and get plans approved that include fencing, so there will be a barrier on the redone bridge.
It takes Dick only a few seconds to say that, Ray, but I know that you've been working on that for years.
Many people and have. Yes.
Time and time again at different mental health meetings, people are discouraged with the progress or lack thereof to try to do something about that bridge, which is that the flashpoint of suicides, would you say, in the Lehigh Valley?
Yes.
I hear so much about the 8th Street Bridge. Mm-hmm. Yes. So there's lots of work to be done, and you're doing some of that to help try to prevent people who are on the verge of suicide and also their families. We have a caller on the line. Caller, would you give us your first name and where you're calling from, please?
My name is Marlene. I'm calling from Allentown. I'm listening to you on the radio.
I'll just have to ask you to turn it down a little bit. It's actually coming through.
Yes, I can see that. Yes, I'm sorry. Okay now?
She probably. Do you have a football game on at the same time?
Yes, I do. No, I don't. No, I'm Marlene. You all are doing a great job about a very important subject. I heard you talking about the suicide prevention information, all that sort of thing, which is really important. I'd like to remind you or invite people to become involved with NAMI, National Alliance of Mental Illness. And maybe you all like to talk about that a little bit. And we happen to have a walk this Saturday, and people might like to get involved in that.
Excellent. Thank you so much for the call, Marlene.
Just a reminder.
All
great
right.
Job.
Thanks.
Bye.
That is National Alliance on Mental Illness. There is a chapter here, an affiliate in the Lehigh Valley, and they're having their annual walk/run this Saturday. Starts at 9 a.m. It's going to be held at the Bicentennial Park on Airport Road, about 3 miles north of the airport. Same place as it was last year. We now have some new information from Bell.
Yes, well, following up on NAMI, I did want to mention that we worked very closely with them on suicide prevention efforts, and it's great to have that reminder. I do have the website for the local AFSP, email for the local AFSP chapter, and that is afsplv@gmail.com. Once again, afsplv@gmail.com.
Very good. Thank you. Thanks to Dick Skizmo, we get that information. Now, if somebody is in a crisis mode, what's your advice for that person or for others around who are noticing that something is coming to a head here? Marlene, what would you say?
I think it is very important to really, really stay in tune to what the person is saying to you and their frame of mind. I think in certain circumstances, immediate response needs to be taken. What I mean by that is if the person is actively hurting themselves while they're on the phone with you, which we've had recent calls like that, I'd say just within this last month, and we're seeing an increase in depression and in people who are feeling very hopeless just given the economic circumstances and budget restraints, the job losses. And at that point, your first response is you really want to get them immediate help through the hospital, get them to the hospital, call 911. For families where it's not necessarily an acute situation, what you really want to talk about support with them, you know, help educate them on the illness, the condition that they have, because when we talk about mental health, it's very, very, it's more frequent and prevalent than people are aware of. And it, I think Bell hit on just the work that's done with suicide. The work we do every day, it might not be a suicide call, but mental health is ingrained into every phone call, almost every contact you're having, whether it's depression or somebody who is not actively symptomatic but has bipolar or even schizophrenia. So we do see it quite often, and it's just important to remember that support, education, patience, and sometimes even forcing the hand of the individual to get the help through, you know, the family and friends that are available. And that's where I think we get a lot of the support calls, because people are very frustrated with this system because it is a voluntary system. There is no method to enforce if that person does not want to receive the help. You really, have to convince them, and you have to do your best to educate them on the illness and explain to them it can progress and, you know, talk about suicide. I think that people are afraid to bring up suicide because they're afraid that by bringing it up, it means that you are encouraging it. But I think by not bringing it up, you're missing a huge, huge opportunity to help that person who might already have those thoughts.
We had a collaborative effort. We at AFSP also partnered with Lehigh Valley Health Network and NAMI and brought in Joey Pantoliano last year. Joey Pants from The Sopranos, the Matrix movies. He had a saying that is, and I think it's a 501c3 now, "No kidding, me too," which is getting mental illness out into the open. As he would say, getting out of the closet with your mental illness and talking about it, admitting that I have a mental illness and it's no different than having diabetes or having a heart condition or having high blood pressure. It's not a statement about you as a person. It's just a condition that you would have. And he was saying the point of "no kidding, me too" is when people start openly and honestly talking about their lives like this, they find more often than not, they're not shunned by others, but people say, "Hey, no kidding, me too." And it opens up an opportunity for dialogue. And then, as Marlene was saying, as people are really dealing with the situation in their life, then they're more willing to get help the same way you would to take medication for high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm. Right. And many times what happens is the individual who has a mental illness doesn't realize it, doesn't want to admit it, mm-hmm. and is in denial, we say.
Yes.
And also family members. So when we work with family members at NAMI, which is National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there's a wonderful course called Family to Family, and I would encourage people out there who have somebody in the family battling a mental illness just to get lots of good information. You can call NAMI Lehigh Valley at 610-882-2102 and get some information on how to take that course called Family to Family. And what we find out is that many times people in the family are not on the same page. The mother of the son who has been acting strangely might say right away, we have to do something about it. This is not what our son used to be. And the father will simply think maybe that it was laziness, and all we have to do is give him a kick in the pants and get him to get going, when actually we're dealing with clinical depression or we're dealing possibly with schizophrenia too. So good work being done in education, as well as the crisis points that you have dealing with suicide. I heard a statistic that, why are we talking so much about suicide connected with mental illness, that 90% of people who commit suicide are fighting a mental illness? And another statistic, that 10% of people with a mental illness will commit suicide. So there's a 90% on the one side, those who actually do commit suicide are dealing with a mental illness. And then on the other hand, if people have a mental illness, doesn't mean they're going to be suicidal. Only 10% actually go through with that. And what can we say as far as the population groups and suicide? What do we know about men, women, old, young, and that kind of thing?
I can just start off by saying that recently what we're seeing is a lot of the older population, elderly, feeling basically that they're a burden on their families, that they can't identify with what just the changes, whether it's the technology, and they're feeling not supported, and that the biggest thing is they're feeling like a burden and disconnected and isolated. So we are seeing that common theme, and that's pretty significantly new. And I think the statistics have supported that there has been an increased suicide risk amongst the elderly.
And that's for the elderly. And how about young people? Sometimes they also are suicidal.
There are statistics that show that actually, in the Lehigh Valley, and it doesn't fit the norm perhaps on a national level, but the highest rate of suicide in Lehigh County is white men between 40 and 59 who are married. So that demographic is interesting, because normally marriage is a stabilizing factor or a safety factor for individuals, but in Lehigh County it's not. Young people do attempt suicide, but older people complete suicide more regularly. Young girls that would make an attempt, 1 in 100 would die by suicide. Older men who make an attempt, 1 out of 4 die by suicide.
Now, in this demographic between, 40 and 59, we had gotten into with the elderly how, perceiving yourself as a burden, or, a lot of the people you were close with may have passed on. What are some of the motives in that demographic?
As John was saying earlier, really it's a mood disorder, which would be depression. If you get into a chronic state of depression, that really has a debilitating factor. They call it a psych ache, where just it's a melancholic type of depression that's so overwhelming that you feel like you have no escape.
There was a woman I knew, Ray, who told me a very sad thing. She lived alone. She didn't have family nearby. someone, I think one person maybe lived far away, and she actually tried to commit suicide at one point, and she told me, John, if I were to die, nobody would miss me. Hmm. And that is such a sad thing for me to hear, because we all need others to notice us, to depend on us. We want to feel important. And that was the case of that woman, and you know, just one out of how many cases. We are chatting this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse with four representatives from mental health services in Lehigh County, Dick Orleman, Jane Marsilio, Marlene Dalmasso, and Bell Marks. We are going to return, and we're going to talk about educating police forces when we return from our break, and we'll be back in 60 seconds.
For program support on WDIY, we thank Touchstone Theater on Bethlehem South Side, opening their 32nd season with The Pan Show, In Pan We Trust. The favorite horned god is back and leading a ragtag coalition of nations to save America from itself. Performed by the Touchstone Ensemble, this political satire musical will run from October 4th through the 13th. For tickets or information, 610-867-1689 or touchstone.org.
And we're back on Lehigh Valley Discourse, talking about mental health services in Lehigh County this evening. I'd like to ask Jane Marsilio about efforts that have been made to educate police forces in our area.
Since sometime in the 1980s, the Allentown Police Academy asked the county to get involved with some training. We started out with doing a couple of different courses. Some of them were really focused on actual police work. And we kind of, the last couple of years, now focused on the custody and care of the mentally ill is actually what the course is called. And what we do there, we go a little bit out of the outline because it is, we have to follow some of the course curriculum because the police officers are going to be, the cadets are going to be tested later, but we add some other things to hopefully get them or educate them and get them informed about what the resources are out in the community. We meet about twice a year. It's really a short period of time, unfortunately, and we know that some other people in the community are involved and come to the academy and do some other things specific to counseling and even sometimes a commitment process. So
this is, you're talking about early in the policeman's career.
Yeah, they're cadets.
They're cadets.
Yeah, some of them actually have positions yet, but they haven't worked yet as a police officer.
Was it difficult to get a segment of time for mental health concerns with the police academy?
Actually, no, because it was already in the curriculum. It wasn't as specific as now that we're presenting. We added some other things. And, in fact, it's kind of a little bit outdated with some of the terminology that they use, and we will inform them and tell them that it's different and things are a little bit different now. But it's been there for a long time. And, again, I believe in the 1980s, if you remember Irvin Kaplan, he started going over there, but it's always been part of their curriculum.
And there's one police academy in the Lehigh Valley, I think, for
That's
all,
correct. Yes.
Potentially all police forces around
Yeah,
our
there's
area.
All from all different police, right. Whitehall, Bethlehem, Allentown is a big one. Every local police
department.
And department in this area.
Dick, what does CIT mean, and how are we doing with that?
Crisis intervention teams. We are meeting with the Allentown Police Department and talking to them about training for the officers in that department. We've also met with the Whitehall Police Department and are trying to work on the logistics, the funding, getting officers off the street for a period of time. They're understaffed in some cases, trying to fill vacancies on their part or vacations, whatever the situation is. So it's not always easy to get officers for that period of time. But both departments are interested, are meeting with us as a county. And Lehigh County is also working with the Allentown Police at the Academy for the officers that will be staying on in the Allentown Police Department have a week after the Academy session is actually over, specific to Allentown. And we're hoping to have an opportunity to go more in detail at that time with the officers for Allentown.
What do the policemen get out of the presentation? How long, you're asking for a certain segment of time. How much time would you like to have, ideally, for CIT, for Crisis Intervention Team?
The model was started in Memphis, Tennessee. It is a whole week of training, so it's 5 solid days of training that the officers get. We went down, some of us from Lehigh County, and observed some of the sessions that are taking place in Bucks County, where they do have an active CIT program, in Doylestown for officers throughout Bucks County. So that would be the ideal, to have at least one officer in every department in Lehigh County trained, or have groups of officers trained in the larger departments, so that if there is a mental health call, those officers know specifically or have more information in working with those individuals.
I'd like to ask our guests if, in your own case, you have family members who have mental illnesses.
My grandmother's sister was at Norristown State Hospital for a period of time. I believe my father was an untreated bipolar, and he had severe mood swings throughout his life, and his family doctor would tell my mother that at the time that she, manic depression or bipolar is what it's called now, that he believed that that's what my father was suffering from. And I, in hindsight, looking at my grandmother, she, and these are things that you take seriously, but as a kid, you don't know what to say, think, or do. When your grandmother says, I figured it out, if I take too few pills, I'll just get tired and go to sleep. If I take too many pills, I might vomit because I'll become sick. So I have to calculate just the right number of pills. And I've done that, and I've set them aside. And so she was probably dealing with some level of depression that went unrecognized. But hopefully, again, if the message can get out, it's not a stigma to have a mental illness. It's not a stigma to be depressed. Please, if anybody feels depressed, talk to your family doctor, talk to your healthcare professional, and seek treatment, because we had a billboard campaign not too long ago that said mental illness is treatable. Treat it that way. And I think that's a key, that you can get better, you can feel better, and it's not a stigma.
Exactly. Stigma busting is a really big topic with working with mental illnesses nowadays. Anyone else with a personal story at the microphones? No?
I don't know if I can share, but I will say my I do have a family member that was a active military who was deployed and did 2 terms in Iraq, I believe in Afghanistan. And coming back, you know, a lot to overcome, a lot of obstacles, a lot of not knowing where they belong. And I don't want to name names, but I'm sure that person's listening. So, but it's courageous. I have to say it's courageous. And it's a big, difficult thing to go through, to come back to friends that have moved on and have, families and children now, and trying to find your niche and really, really just integrating back into society after you've lost what you feel is something that's not tangible, but very, very much tangible to you, that society doesn't see it as tangible. And I think that the support system there for military needs to be looked at and really addressed, because there's such a need there. And I think recently there has been a lot of discussion about it. I think we need something very much like a national movement in that direction.
Right. And I don't remember talk about post-traumatic distress before, let's say, a decade ago or so. And here we are naming it, and we realize that it's something that's there, and we had not talked about that. So you put your finger on a very important issue.
We have, if I can just butt in here, and I'm doing it anyway, I guess. Our local chapter picks topics for the year. Our topic this past year has been LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered individuals, and how mental health and suicide impacts that particular community. For the next year, we're looking at the military and the police, and we have a woman on our board whose husband was in the military, became a police officer, and then died by suicide. So she is going to be spearheading the efforts in that area this coming year. And it's also something that AFSP is looking at on a national level. Why are so many people in the military dying by suicide? And that information, just if people are curious, can go to the AFSP website just simply by Googling AFSP and can see some of the information and some of the efforts and the work that we're doing.
And AFSP is?
The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
Thank you. We have about 10 minutes left of Lehigh Valley Discourse. And, Ray, let's give that telephone number one more time in case some listeners would like to make comments or have questions.
Yeah, we're coming into the closing stretch of the show. If you have any questions, you can give us a call at 610-758-8810. Again, that's 610-758-8810.
So many famous people have had mental illnesses, and we didn't know about that. When I learned about Abraham Lincoln as a schoolboy, way back then, there was no mention about his having very, very, very serious depression. And he made a statement somewhat to the effect, he did it more eloquently, of course, than I, but that if I knew that I had to live like this the rest of my life, I should rather have a shorter life rather than a longer life. So he's just one example of many that we could name. We have a caller on the line. Caller, would you give us your first name and where you're calling from, please?
Michael, and I'm calling from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Thank you, Michael.
And I have two questions. One, with the suicide among the elderly, how much of that would be self-euthanasia, people who've just been diagnosed with Alzheimer's or terminal cancer or something that decide rather than let it linger out, they're just going to get it over with? And that's one question. And the other question is, with the closure of mental hospitals like Allentown State Hospital, how much has the prison system become the hospital of last resort for the mentally ill?
Thank you very much for your questions, Michael. Who would like to field those, or one of them?
Hi, Michael. Very good questions. I just wanted to touch base on your question with the elderly. Yes, the elderly are very much at risk. I don't know the statistics offhand, but there is definite increase in a trend that we're seeing. And yes, it is. We do hear about it. We've had a lot of interesting cases come to our attention in crisis intervention where people make the argument, including medical professionals, making the argument on behalf of their patients that this was looked at as an act of euthanasia or just allowing the person to make the decision to not be a burden and to die peacefully. So that is one factor of it that we do see. It is something we struggle with because we don't know what the moral decision and what really morals come into play and what the ethical thing to do is in these situations. But we have had medical professionals make the argument that they do not want crisis to intervene, that these people are very logical, that they are not acting impulsive, that they are given this a lot of thought. And what we always say is, as a crisis intervention team, and the purpose is to save that life. So it is something that we have to continue to make efforts to do. It's not always a favorable position, but it is something that we do struggle with because we understand that there are medical conditions that, you know, person feels they can't live or it has affected the quality of their life.
Is there a second question that he asked?
Well, real quickly, with the prisons becoming a secondary hospital, we track everybody that was at the Allentown State Hospital. We monitor that closely. And no, they are not going to Lehigh County Prison. We have to keep track of that and make reports to the state. Are there people with a mental illness in the prison? Yes, but it's not really as a result of the state hospital closing. I believe there's always been people with a mental illness, and they get involved with crimes like other people do.
In fact, nowadays with the state, particularly with the closure of state hospitals, I've heard that the institution that houses more mentally ill people than any other organization is the prisons across the country.
Right.
And the numbers are staggering, and many, many times they don't get the attention. The people who are battling these illnesses don't get the attention that they need. The prisons are not set up well enough for that to happen. And so that's another area where there's lots of work to be done.
I just wanted to add one more comment about the prison. We do work closely with Lehigh County Prison. Crisis does go to give and offer support. They assist with what we call 302, which is commitments to the hospital for mental health if we do see that there are grounds. So we do work closely with their staff. They do have day shift mental health workers. I believe there's two on day shift. But when it's second and third shift, they do rely heavily on crisis intervention to respond and assist with facilitating any hospitalizations.
And Lehigh County has a program, which is really a very good program, called MISA, M-I-S-A. Team MISA is Mental Illness Substance Abuse. We meet on a weekly basis. It's the first assistant district attorney, the public defender's office, the deputy wardens from the prison, the counselors from the prison, the mental health office, the drug and alcohol office, our forensic team, the SPOR program that I talked about earlier. We discuss individuals who are incarcerated to determine if there is something that can be done, not to get them out of the trouble that they're in, but to provide the appropriate treatment for them to keep them safe and to keep society safe.
There's lots of work being done that people probably generally are not aware of, involving all these different officials within our state government, our county government, our city government. What about mental health courts? Do we have judges who actually do that in an official way? We don't.
No, we have a veterans mentoring program, which is not really a court, but Judge Anthony, who is a person who's been in the service himself, hears those cases. The public defender, or the probation office, rather, is also an individual who's been in the service, is involved in that. In that situation, an individual who is a veteran is partnered with an individual who was in the service, and they help them, because of the kindred spirit that's there from both having been in the service, they help them navigate the criminal justice system, and they help them get acclimated again back into the community. But it's not a get-out-of-jail-free card, and it's not a veterans court, per se. And MISA is not a mental health court, but the district attorney, the public defender, the probation office, all the people around the table do speak with the judge and get the judge, give the judge information to help him or her make a decision in the case.
Bell, I know you are eager to share some information with us. Again,
yes.
What is it?
Two upcoming local events. The local chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention will hold our annual Out of the Darkness Walk on Sunday, October 14th in Lehigh Parkway in Allentown. Registration will begin at 11, and the walk will begin around noon. We'll have entertainment, light snacks, and it's either a 3.1-mile walk or a 1-mile walk, or people don't have to walk. They can just hang around and talk.
How about some heavy snacks?
Well, it might slow you down. So we're going with sweet and salty.
She just looked at my waistline when she said that. Thanks, Belle.
Yeah.
And what's your other announcement?
The other is that each year there's an International Survivors of Suicide Day, and this event is held on November 17th, I believe, and it'll be at Lehigh Valley Hospital, Muhlenberg. It's a Saturday morning, and this is an international event that's televised. There's a panel of speakers who talk about dealing with a family or friend who died by suicide and how they're looking toward the future.
Thank you so much. Thank you all for being with us today on Lehigh Valley Discourse. I would like to give a special thanks also to Marlene Mers, who helped me organize this interview. So we've been speaking with Richard Orleman and Jane Marsilio, with Marlene Dalmaso, and with Belle Marx, all who are helping in the effort to make us all better mentally healthful. That's an awkward way of saying it. Ray, thanks for working the board for us this evening.
Anytime, John. My pleasure.
And that's Lehigh Valley Discourse for now. Good evening.